Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Mean Green Nation Podcast, SMU Preview Edition. With me, as usual, Mr. Greg Godecker coming to us live by phone. How you doing today, Mr. Greg?
Amazing. Awesome. It's game week. We finally can just cut out all the chatter about how hard we worked in the off season, how we're going to be more aggressive than everybody else. We can cut through all the crap, and we can get down to business.
Yeah, you've been mentioning that over and over, like either on Twitter or like here. You've just been saying, you know, I'm glad we don't talk about it anymore. We're just going to be about it. Is that about right?
Exactly. Yeah. That is about right. That's about how I feel. We've been waiting for so long.
Yeah. Really long time. I mean, pretty much since, Dan McCarney was canned. I've been waiting for this season. The new coach, new system, you know.
It's a new hope.
Yeah, that was like in October or something like that. All right, so I think we're facing that familiar foe, Southern Methodist University. They are our rivals, question mark? At least for some people. I mean, last year, famously, George Dunham, you know, went on his rant, and he was all like, if they were Russia State or something, I forget his quote, but blah, 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 if they were Russia State, I'd root for Russia State, which was hilarious for lots of reasons. I guess let's begin by asking how you feel about SMU. Do you have a deep-seated hate rivalry, kind of? Like, I mean, how do you feel about SMU?
I personally don't have a deep-seated, hate relationship. Probably because, not being, an extremely long-term North Texas fan. I think the more years you add to your North Texas fandom, the more hate you have towards SMU. Like, for the newer generation, the newer people coming on, I think there's more hate towards a team like UTSA than SMU. They maybe don't quite understand the rivalry, but I think, you can still call it a rivalry. I don't like them. I don't really like their fans because they think that, they're so much better than everybody else when they're really not that much better than everybody else. I mean, yeah, they spend a lot of money, Yeah, they drive some nice cars. But, hey, you know what? We got North Texas fans that drive nice cars, too.
I like that. That should be our slogan this week. Hey, we drive nice cars, too. I got to agree with you. I think if you are from the Metroplex, you probably feel more strongly about the rivalry than other folks. Because, I mean, when I went to North Texas, I was, that was when I began my fandom. You know, I was like, all right, I'm going to adopt this team. It's going to be my university, my alma mater. Now learn about it. Who do we hate? And you look around and, if you go by NCAA football, the video game, it says, New Mexico State. And I was like, okay, well, I never knew anybody at North Texas that had hate from New Mexico State or Arkansas State or Middle Tennessee or anybody else that they thrown up there. And it's only been recently that people have said, we got to beat that team. It's only been recently that I've heard players say, we got to beat that team. And that team has been UTSA. And sometimes SMU, like, we got to beat them. We got to get them back. And I think that's a function of playing SMU like three times in the last, three times in the last 3 years. So, yeah, I think the ingredients for a rivalry are repetition, frequency of games. So you have something recent to look back on. And proximity. Everybody knows an SMU fan. I know a couple people. And if you're listening to this, people that are my friends, I know I'm talking about you right now, that graduated from North Texas and got their graduate degree from SMU. And, I like to give him shit about that. It's fine. He says to me, I bleed mean green. But, there you go. So there's a stage set, at least for the old timers, the ancient ones, the old ones.
Mm-hmm.
They hate SMU. And, I'm going to respect that. old timers hate, new folks dislike is what I wrote on Mean Green Nation. So we're going to go with that, ladies and gentlemen. There is a rich versus poor, public versus private. Like you said, BMW versus Honda Accord. Can we say that? That rivalry there?
Sure, we can go that.
All right, so last year we went down to Gerald Ford Stadium. And, you know, we waited through all the bros wearing their Sperry's. And we lost 31-13, and it began with terrible offense. More terrible offense. I'm of the mind, Greg, that our defense is good enough to stop the very one-dimensional SMU offense, which is really all Matt Davis. And Matt Davis dancing around defenders and chucking it up to Cortland Sutton or whoever he finds open. And I think we're going to do a better job of tackling. I think we're going to better job of defending and also scoring. And so I think we're going to win. There you go. You have my prediction up front, ladies and gentlemen. And now we'll get into the details. Greg, how do you feel? How do you feel about this, man?
You know, going into, you know, I picked SMU to win, you know, when we did our predictions, when we, you know, talked about it the last time. And, you know, as I've done more studying into SMU and what's going on in their off season and what they have coming back and who are their guys starting and, you know, rating, you know, their team versus rating our team, the more I've started to feel like, you know, even though North Texas is a 9.5 underdog right now, the more I feel like they have, you know, a realistic shot of pulling, you know, the home upset. Because that's what it essentially, it will be viewed as. It may not be viewed as that way by North Texas fans, but by the entire nation and everybody else outside of Denton and outside of being a North Texas fan, it will be an upset. And I feel like, you know, all the things that you mentioned already about, you know, our offense is going to be better, our defense is going to be better. You know, those are things that, you know, make you feel good as a fan, but, you know, I think it's, if we were going into this game with a Chad Morris or really like maybe an Oregon type of run first, you know, power run type of spread offense, I'd probably feel less better because we probably wouldn't have gotten the quarterback that we needed, you know, to run that offense because we're going in to this game with an air raid offense, a quarterback that can throw the ball, coaches that can really coach this offense, as we mentioned previously. And we're facing a defense that, you know, their defensive line was not great at getting pressure on the quarterback. And they gave up, you know, quite a few passing yards last year, almost 16 yards a catch, which was like 127th in the country or 128th in the country. So even if they've gotten somewhat better, there's no way that they've gotten extremely better to, you know, defend what we're going to throw at them. So I think our offense being the air raid made me feel better as I've started studying the matchup more.
Yeah, I did some studying also. I didn't look so much at the numbers because I know you got that covered. And I was looking at the film, the actual game stuff. And I mean, this is not really a great way to start because, I used the TCU game because TCU is one, they were like a year into their offense, and two, they had like better players, just better talent across the board. And I think that was evident in that, you know, like a guy would catch the ball and then sprint away from everybody. However, I wanted to see how SMU was going to defend an air raid that they were kind of ready for. And the thing was, they gave TCU a little bit of a game, but it was not on defense. It was on offense. And any stops, any kind of slowdown that happened was TCU hurting themselves. It was Boykin throwing the ball a little too far, almost on an interception, missing wide open dudes by like 3 feet. And it was nothing to do with SMU. And we're not going to see that kind of execution by our guys in the first game. I don't expect that. But if we get 70% of that execution, hell, even half of that execution, there will be players wide open because SMU is not very good on defense. They were about as bad as we were, like almost exactly as bad. They allowed 6,026 total yards of offense on 853 plays, or 7.1 yards per play. We allowed 6,029 yards on 903 plays, or 6.8 yards per play. So basically the same thing. And I think the points allowed was like right similar or something like that. I'm sure you have that in your notes. And I posted this, you know, some of the things that we'll be able to do. And I posted an example of how TCU just sliced them up. No pressure, wide open dudes, and they caught it and they made plays. That's maybe the difference between TCU and us, that they had guys that are going to catch it and run through everybody. And we maybe have guys that could do that. I mean, I think,
right.
Yeah, I think our guys can do. I think Tiguri, if you look at him in the spring game, he has some breakaway speed. And that was the spring, you know, and no one's, you know, as crisp as they're going to be next week. But I see some plays there. I see Anthony Weish making a play. I see Jeffrey Wilson making a play. I mean, who do you think is going to be the guy this weekend? Like, who do you think going to come away with and say, wow, I didn't expect, or that guy really played amazing?
I can't pinpoint and say one guy right now. I think there's too much uncertainty as to who's going to be the guy that, you know, they lean on, you know, in the game time situation. I think coming away from the game, I think most North Texas fans are going to be impressed with Alex Morris. I think that's probably the one guy that's going to shoulder the most load that the coaches, you know, they really believe in. They're going to put the ball in his hands and say, hey, who's ever open, you know, make the right read, get him the ball, and then let that guy go make plays. Now, I don't know, you know, what, you know, how is SMU going to really, who are they going to try and take away? Are they going to respect no one? Because if they respect no one, then you feel, you know, like a guy like Tiguri, or even some of the guys that weren't listed as starters but are in the two deep as the wide receivers. Rutherford's going to play a lot. Busey's going to play a lot. The guys on the outside, you feel like, okay, they could have big games down the field. You know, as far as moving the chains, you know, maybe a guy like Kenny Byers, or, you know, and not a lot of people that have mentioned his name, Mike Lawrence, Mike Law. You know, he had a couple good touchdown receptions in the scrimmages. You know, a walk-on freshman wide receiver from Sweetwater. You know, he's backing up Kenny Byers in the 2-deep. Not a lot of people mention his name, you know. So how is SMU, how are their linebackers going to be able to match up with our inside guys? That could be one of the, you know, things that not a lot of people are talking a lot about.
Yeah, and that's really, I'm excited about this whole thing, because, like, I think we have guys, like you said, that if they key any one way, like, and I linked to the Marshall game when basically Marshall was like, we don't believe you can throw the ball. And while they were right, it afforded us some opportunities to get guys like Jeffrey Wilson in space. And I think if they decide to do something like that and basically dare Alec Morris to beat him deep, or, you know, just stand tall in the pocket and make a play, I think we could do that enough that we can compete that way, enough so that way North Texas can compete. And that's really all we're asking for here. That's really all we expected last season going into it. I know there were some questions about, I mean, last season we talked, we had a podcast and we're like, can we stop them? Chad Morris is a great offensive coach. Can we stop them? The defense, for the most part, did, except when it comes to Matt Davis. And I know that's, you know, like, he is the offense, so you didn't really stop him, doesn't mean anything. But it kind of does. I mean, we had everybody covered. It's not like they were slicing us up schematically. It was just, you know, being a playmaker. And that said, SMU was bailed out by the fact that North Texas only scored 13 points. And, you know, we're talking about an SMU last year that allowed all the points, basically. James Madison put up a lot of numbers on them. I think if North Texas had an offense last season, we would have had a very similar season. Scoring points, couldn't stop a whole lot of people. But I think our defense would have maybe been more encouraged and more excited if they knew they had an offense that was supporting them. That's a big part of my little theory here. I think that the defense is better than the way we played last season. And all I have to say about that is a slight change in was it points against after the change from McCarney? But that's and after the change at quarterback. But once it was kind of determined that even that wasn't going to do any wonders, it wasn't going to work wonders for us, the defense just kind of, they were just kind of checking out. And I totally understand that. I don't want to blame them. I don't want to be like, oh, what's wrong, you guys don't want to play hard. It's fine. It's whatever. It's past the past. But I think we can extrapolate some things from it. We can learn a little bit. I think there's talent on the defense, talent enough to slow down, maybe get a turnover here and there. I mean, because Matt Davis is great, but he's not. I mean, he's not a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback. You know what I mean? He throws, what is it, like 50% passing, 54% passing. He makes a lot of plays outside of the pocket, and he's going to get those plays, and that's fine. But I also think that with this attacking defense, guys like Nate Brooks, some of our guys are playmaking guys. Keshawn McClain, they're going to make some plays, get a turnover. And that might be all we need to win this game. I had this one close. Like, I still have it close. I mean, we're not really going to blow them away or anything like that. We're at home. I think that helps. They're not going to have a crowd. What did I pick? 31-30 is what I said in the preview. I'm going to stick with that. 31-30. Basically, it's going to be super close, guys.
So you would take SMU and 31 points, what we gave up last year. Would you take that right now, saying that, I guarantee you we're going to give up 31 to SMU. Would you take it?
Yeah, I'd take it. I think we could score more than 31.
I think that's a fair, assessment. And, our defense last year at the beginning of the year, they were pumped. They were amped. They came ready to play the first game. They allowed Matt Davis some big plays. They let, Xavier Jones wear him down a little bit. He was able to get like 4.5 yards of carry and get close to 100 yards. And, Braden West, he had a decent game too. So, our defense, like you mentioned, the word is attacking. Everybody uses that in the offseason. We believe that our defense will probably be more attacking than it has been in the past. Now, when you're facing an SMU offense and Chad Morris that uses motion and misdirection so much, that attacking can hurt us in some ways. How do our guys, can they focus on their keys and sift through all the traffic in front of them and then make the play? That's going to be the biggest thing. I think a guy like Courtney Finney, who's seen, he had his year and now he's caught up to speed. Fred Scott, senior, we expect big things. Those two guys, they should be able to make a lot of plays on Saturday against SMU. They should be able to know what they're seeing and to be able to not have to think so much, they can react. Some of the other JUCO guys that are going to see playing time, like Joshua Wheeler, Peters, some of the other guys, JUCO guys that you throw in there, Jenkins, defensive back, Dee Bachman, playing that nickel position behind Ashton Preston. How are those guys going to react? How fast are they going to be able to play in game one against, Chad Morris run offense, which, SMU doesn't have, great players to run it, but, I think it's still tough for, a guy making a transition from a lower level football to FBS to figure things out.
Yeah, I think I don't know if it's not really a direct comparison, but when what's his face, Melzon, was at Arkansas State, North Texas did a great job shutting down his offense up to a point, and then when they started play actioning and throwing it back and kind of doing some things that took away the aggressiveness or played off that aggressiveness, North Texas made mistakes and they gave up big plays. I think that's to be expected, and I'll be okay with that. I think we all should be okay with it. If you're listening to it, you're like, oh, they're allowing 50-yard touchdowns. Well, if it was because they were too aggressive and they were looking for that and they were playing off of that, that's fine because that's how you learn. You know what I mean? That's like step one. Are they stopping the easy stuff? That's pretty good. Or like the stuff that's not complicated, not a whole lot of movement and kind of clever things. That's fine. As this unit and this defensive coordinator and this whole defensive side of the ball gets better and learns each other and kind of figures out what they want to do, we'll see more improvement. And it was the same way in John Scaldini's offense. that, I was mentioning Gus Malzahn slicing it up. It was that early, there was the 2012 version of the defense that was really good at times and then also would give up giant plays. And then it wasn't until 2013 that it all kind of gelled together where they were stopping the easy things and then also making plays on defense. We're about a year away from them making plays like that on defense where you're like, well, you know, how do you score on the North Texas defense? It's not going to be for a while. What you're hoping for is that they make enough plays, like positive plays, a sack, an interception, just something good occasionally, to give the ball back to the offense. Because that's kind of the whole philosophy, is that you're okay trading points, but our defense is going to be attacking and aggressive enough that we're going to have one or two more possessions and we're going to make use of that. Mm-hmm. Do you agree with that? Yeah,
I mean, I do agree with that. And that's been my thought process, you know, whenever they adopted the 3-3-5 defense and the coaching staff that they brought in and the players that they're bringing in and the players that we already had, you know, is that, you know, look, we were so bad last year on defense. There's no quick fix. So if we just come out and we're uber aggressive and we blitz and we try and force them, you know, we understand that, like you said, we're going to give up big plays, but we're also, sooner or later, we're going to force you into a mistake. Yeah. And I think that's where, you know, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to force, you know, mistakes because we realize we don't have the depth and the horses just to continuously stop you throughout the game. We know we're going to give up plays. We're going to give up yards. But we're going to get you. We're going to get you with an interception or a negative play or somewhere along the line, you know, we're going to bite you.
Yeah, and I think if you want to compare, if you want to do more comparison to that 2013 season, and this may be an imperfect analogy because I just thought it up right now, but so in that year, our defense was our best unit. Our special teams were probably our second best. They scored a lot. They made plays. And our offense was just there to kind of move the chains, score some points. And they benefited from being ahead. They could run the ball, you know. They could play on that aggressive. The defense scored some points. Special teams scored some points. And so the offense could take advantage of that by just not messing anything up. There was not a whole lot of games where they had to do a whole lot. We're not like, we need North Texas to go down and score. They did because they were good and they were solid. But that was it. They were solid. And I think if our defense could do that this year, if they can just be solid, they don't have to be great, middle of the pack, not 121st ranked defense, but somewhere in the 50s to 60s, that could be all we need. Because that was about where our offense ranked. It was not super amazing. Middle of the pack nationally, maybe even middle of the pack to higher third in the conference. That'll win a lot of games for us because I think our offense will be that much better. Our offense is not going to be 120th ranked. Even if they are just turn the ball over and Alec Morris can't quite get the guys set and nobody's executing perfectly and it doesn't look like Mike Leach or TCU, Doug Meacham out there. But instead it looks like they're getting there. This team will be better than last season. And last season, they weren't in any games. They were, you know, they beat UTSA and that was whatever. They had a chance to beat SMU. SMU scored 21 in the fourth quarter. And a lot of that defense was just like, how many times can we stop this team again, give the ball back to the offense, and they just kind of, you know, fart and just roll over? That's going
to
be different.
Yeah, I mean, You look at, you hate to go back and you look at that first game, but the early stop on defense and then, you know, the fumbled punt, the botch snap down there, and then we don't punch it in for a touchdown. That's when you knew, you're like, oh, okay. We're in a little bit of trouble here. We should have been able to punch this in against their defense, and because their defense was sorry, and we weren't able to do it. And that's kind of where you had the feeling like, okay, our offense is just not where it needs to be.
And yeah, I mean that's the thing with these guys. I think it's pretty obvious that we have a better offensive staff than we did before. So, at 30% is that. And then we also have an upgrade at the most important position, Alec Morris. I think he's better than, you know, Josh Greer or Andrew McNulty or DeMarcus Smith last season. So we're good there, or at least it's an upgrade. How much of an upgrade, we'll see. But I think it's pretty significant. You mentioned a couple times that the dude is probably all conference. And, you know, I can see that happening. This is a proven offensive system, and I think we have playmakers. Tigari can make plays. A lot of people pointed out some of the dudes, Rutherford, all the guys in the 2D. We won't list them all right here. All those guys are good enough. They're not going to – I don't know if any of them are going to make the NFL. I don't know if any of them are going to be, you know, like have the talent to, you know, this guy can play at Texas. I don't know. I don't know any of that, but we don't need any of that. We just need productivity. And I think we can get that from these guys. Because, you know, I think we mentioned in a previous podcast, or maybe it was a Slack, that, you know, Conference USA doesn't have, you know, so much talent that a slight change in one or two guys can't, you know, just, you know, doesn't have any effect. I think, as we saw with Louisiana Tech, the right guy stepping in makes a world of difference. The right guy steps into North Texas. I think that's going to make a world of difference. Does that mean 4 wins, 5 wins? Yeah, I think the depth is going to be an issue. People start getting hurt, then we're almost back to where we were last season. But just the top.
You know, Alec Morris stepping in at that primary position can get us, you know, to that 4, maybe even 5 win range. The difference with, like, a Louisiana Tech, you know, getting Driscoll, getting Sokol, is that they were already really good on the defensive and offensive line. They had studs, and specifically defensive line. They had guys that were going to play in the NFL. And when you get that, that's what takes you from 4 or 5 wins to 9, 10, 11-win type season, is when you have NFL-caliber players in the trenches.
Yeah, that's a huge point. Yeah, like you mentioned, the type of offense that we're running. If we were like super run heavy, then maybe we wouldn't be so great. I agree, and I think that kind of speaks on the offensive line right now that they're trying to put together, basically, still trying to figure out. If we had to rely on them to create holes, basically like we did last season, I don't know that happens. That said, last year's line did open up some holes against, you know, Iowa, against Marshall, two of the best defenses that we faced. But they're going to do a lot of pass blocking, and they're going to face a lot of pressure, especially if the offense is successful passing the ball. Are they going to be able to withstand that? I don't know. From all reports from like you or the people that have seen fall camp or Brett Vito even, there's some question marks there on the offensive line. We're hopeful. There's some talent, but, you know, that's football is a simple game, and, you know, the 4 or 5 guys you have up front make a world of difference in what you can do. If they're talented, if they're good at what they do. If they're not, then, I mean, it doesn't matter if you haven't, you have Tom Brady back there. We'd get sliced up because he wouldn't be able to be protected. And same thing on the defense side of the ball. And you wanted to talk about this a little bit, so I'll give you some space to do so. Where does our offensive line, our defensive line rank in the conference? And what does it mean for wins and losses here?
Well, I'm not specifically prepared. Adam didn't tell me that I was supposed to talk about this tonight. So I'm looking at my hand right now, and I don't have the numbers written down in front of me of where our offensive and defensive line.
Wait.
I can tell you that.
Time out. You did rate the offensive line. You gave them all ratings. So that's kind of what I was talking about.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, okay. You're talking about the number. So, yeah, if you didn't see our website, you know, everybody likes NCAA football. And, well, you know, I found the equation for the Madden rating. And so what I've gone through is you watch the players and then you rate them, and then it, you know, it's the equation, you know, each rating is given like a weight. So like for a left tackle, you know, pass blocking might be 39% of their overall rating or whatnot. So there's specifics on how it goes. So, you know, I rate each player and then, you know, spits out the overall rating. And then, you know, we put up on Mean Green Nation, there's a bunch of graphics. We just did the offensive guys today, 11 players. And I only put up the rating, you know, the specific ratings that, you know, might be of interest. You don't need to know, every single thing, like impact block and agility for offensive linemen. Some people want to know that, but you know what? We just focus on awareness, pass block, run block. That's all I needed to show you for offensive line. You didn't need to see the rest. So, you know, I think when I was doing the ratings, 84 and above was really where I said you could be a power or a group of five all-conference type of player. Did we have any of those guys on the offensive line? No, we didn't have any of those guys. We only really have, you'll see the defensive guys tomorrow, the two guys, Jay McGray and Keyshawn McClain, those are the two highest rated guys on the team. And those guys are above 84. And Keyshawn McClain, well, he's all-conference type of player. So getting back to the offensive line, I think the best, the highest rated guy on the offensive line was, I want to say, we had Sam Rice, I think he was like 76, and Keenan, the transfer from Texas Tech, I think he for sure was a 76.
Yeah,
Sam Rice might have been.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. Sam Rice was also 76. I'm looking at it right now. Sam Rice, 76, 84 awareness, 82 run block, 74 pass block. Trey Keenan, 76 overall, 72 awareness, 74 run block, 80 pass block.
Yeah, so there you go. Those are the two guys that I feel probably strongest about. You know, Sam, I know he's a pretty good run blocker. His pass blocking, you know, the bull rush, I think he struggled with that at times last year, so that's why I kind of knocked him down. Keenan, yes, normally when you get like a senior, you want their awareness to be bumped up, but I just wasn't necessarily sure of what, you know, how is he going to handle the transition of being, again, he hasn't played in a long time. I think last year he came from a JUCO. He went to Texas Tech JUCO, then North Texas, right?
Yeah, I want to say that's right.
Or did he?
I think so. Like that, but he hasn't played in a while.
Okay, so that's kind of why his awareness was a little bit down. But he's definitely the best pass blocker we have on the team. I think he did a good job in the fall practices and scrimmages that I saw and handling the rush. The other guys, Garrett Gunter, you know, below 70. I don't have a lot of faith right now in him and his ability. Can he step it up and prove it on, you know, against SMU and raise that rating? Yeah. Creighton Barr, a guy that I would have liked to seen win the center position outright and not have to worry about possibly Sam and Creighton moving back and forth between guard and center. So, you know, sophomore getting, I don't know. Did he started a game last year, didn't he?
I think he did start a game. I want to say, yeah. What is the deal? I don't understand why they're switching between them. Like, what is it that they want to switch? Like, why? What is it specifically that Creighton Barr is better at?
You know, Latrell had to something about the way, you know, the defenses that they faced. I would have thought that if they were facing a team, well, okay, so for SMU, they're a 4-2-5 defense. And so they have the nose tackle, on SMU side, Mason Gentry, a pretty big guy.
Yeah.
Maybe because Sam doesn't handle the bull rush as well as
Creighton,
yeah, does, you know, or handling the snap when somebody's directly over him. Maybe that was an issue as to why they felt like they, you know, were going to start Creighton in this game. That's all I can really, you know, point to in that. And then, you know, getting back to kind of the rest of the guys, Jordan Murray, I had him rated, you know, 73 overall. I think the potential there is for him to get higher. I think this wasn't really a ding on him, but I think he's kind of beat up a little bit from fall practice. I think his shoulder is, you know, every time I've seen him, he's had his one shoulder wrapped up, and he's favorited kind of on the sideline. So that might be a little bit of an issue to me. But again, he struggled a few times in a few areas that I was like, you know, I don't think he's in that range of being all conference or solid starter, but I feel he's definitely our best left tackle. I feel that, you know, he has the size, the body, and the talent to grow into the position that we have him in. And then I think that's pretty much
that's
talking about the entire, yeah, that's all of them.
Yeah.
So
Go ahead. Yeah, I was going to say that. I think in some areas where they struggled last season, like just man-on-man, blow the other guys off the line kind of thing, they struggle with that. They also struggle with, you know, like you said, some bull rushes, this, that, and the other. I don't think that they were helped by the quarterbacks either.
No,
because a lot of teams, and I remember the Marshall one in particular because I kind of watched it a couple times. They lined up and they just basically gave the line hell. They said, we're going to bring multiple guys, or at least look like we're bringing multiple guys. And you know, so they had a lot of pressure on them. You know, I think they blocked well enough to win more games than we did and to score more points than we did. It was nothing amazing. And, you know, I think this line at worst could be average. I don't think they're terrible. There's some questions, but there's some questions pretty much with everybody's line, outside of the, you know, the very, very best top of the heap kind of deal.
Right.
Yeah.
So they could make or break us having a really good season.
Yeah.
If they, you know, Luttrell mentioned this some in his press conference today, you know, the offensive line is really a group that needs to gel together to kind of reach its maximum potential. If this group, you know, performs well, gels together, they're on the same page, then, I mean, that this offense could then really explode past even what, you know, we believe it has the potential to do.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like it could be better than this, you know, than its individual parts. If they play together, if they gel, you know, there have been a lot of talented offensive lines or talented dudes on the offensive line that don't really work together, don't really trust each other. And then, you know, they play below that what you think the talent level is going to be at. I'm not really worried about it. I'm not thinking that any one of these guys is going to get blown off the ball so often that we're going to like, oh, how do we're going to have to change our offense fundamentally because of this dude. I don't think any of that's going to happen. And I think the nature of the offense is that the ball gets out quicker. It gets out pretty quickly. Pretty much Alex Morris is going to walk to the line, decide where he wants to go with the ball. And then when it's snapped, he's going to make a decision quickly. And it really will kind of the line will be a factor. I mean, obviously it's important to the offensive line. It will be a factor more on the third and longs, some of the deeper things when, you know, the offense isn't on schedule or when they're losing and everybody knows that they're going to pass and kind of need, you know, medium to long range yardage. So that's going to be the, you know, the big question there. When it's, you know, the first play of the game, it, you know, that they're not going to be tested right then. Second, third quarter, not so much. It's like fourth quarter, late in the game when, you know, all the cards have been played, all the trickery has been done. And, you know, you just got to beat the guy in front of you, you know, when you're tired and all this happens. Can you do that? Can these guys do that? Well, we'll find out. We will find out.
Yeah, and I think the one other big thing that's, you know, been talked a lot about with fans is the depth. You know, this first five group, you maybe feel, you know, there's some guys you feel good about, you know, as we talked about. There's some guys you're concerned about. But then once you get into the guys behind these guys, well, then there's a lot more concern. You're like, well, if a Jordan Murray goes down, what exactly are we going to do? You know, Chris Miles, he's played well at times, but, I mean, do you feel comfortable with him pass blocking? Because I'm not sure I do. So I think, you know, hopefully these guys can stay healthy, but if they don't, you know, the depth on the offensive line is probably the biggest concern of the team.
Yeah, I mean, I think we can say that with every position. We just say that across the board. So just know that anytime we say, so we should be pretty good in this position, just know that we're also saying that is if nobody gets injured. Because then, I mean, what the hell do we do? Because that's going to be the case. And I expect there's going to be a game or two where somebody's injured or somebody's not playing so well and there's somebody behind them and we're gonna find out some things. I know you gave Alec Morris an 83, Jeffrey Wilson a 79. I saw somebody was like, you're going to get Jeffrey Wilson's fans upset. You know, I think 79 is a reasonable rating for Jeffrey Wilson. If I saw that in NCAA football, I'd be like, maybe it could have been like an 81, 82, but I mean, you know, I get that. How did you come up with this number?
The 79?
Yeah, I mean, like, well, like the 88 speed, juke move 80. Where's like the break tackle? Because I think he runs through tackles well.
There's a, in the Madden, like their rating system, they have like elusiveness, spin move, stiff arm. I didn't post those on there.
Mm-hmm.
I gave them pretty good ratings in all of those and agility. I think his elusiveness was up in the 80s.
Yeah, you gave him an 88.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you don't really see his, like, him spinning a lot. Or his spin move isn't one that I would say that's amazing. Yeah. He doesn't really throw a ton of stiff arms either. He runs his, you know, his biggest is really kind of his, in your PlayStation terms, his L1, R1. You know, his little juke move to the left or to the right. You know, he does a good job of making people miss in the open field by doing that. You know, yes, he does have that ability to run over people, and I guess that rating, which isn't listed up there, would be kind of his strength for the running back position.
Yeah.
So, and I think I put his strength level up there, close to 80s. I think it was like 79 or something like that.
I mean,
so I just
at the very least, I think these ratings are fun because we don't really get them. What did the new rosters come out? Did somebody rate the people on NCAA 14?
A lot of times there's a website called GameRosters.com that would do it. This year they didn't do it. If you're a hardcore fan of PlayStation, Xbox, and you want the rosters, there's a website called Operation Sports.
Yeah.
And they update them. You know, there's a group of fans on there that they pick out the teams and then they edit them. I don't know if they're completely done. Last time I checked, I think they were like 117 teams done because they were adding in a bunch of new updates, new players to different rosters, depth charts being released, things like that. So you can go download them for free off of the Operation Sports. The only thing, you just have to create a username and password.
Yeah. I don't really do that anymore, but yeah, it was fun back in the day. Hopefully they come out with a new game. I hear there's talk about
that. I hope so, too. I think, you know, the ratings is just it's something different because, you know, other sites, I don't know, you know, they may say, like, okay, well, who's the best player on the team or what, you know, top 25 best players. Well, let's have a little fun with that. Let's, you know, let's create the 25 best players, but let's assign some ratings to them. And let's, you know, you open yourself up to criticism by doing this. Or you gave me an 88 speed. I should have been like a 92.
Yeah.
That's fine. That's cool. It's the way you do it, you know. You take your, you know, what you learn from your scouting, you know, throughout the years. Yes, I've taken some scouting classes. So you take that, try and apply it, you know, give somebody a number rating. You know, maybe you're way off or you miss. Everybody misses. I'm not the all, you know, be all, know all, but, you know, have fun doing it and give North Texas fans something to.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're defending it too much in that, like, I mean, I don't see a problem with it. I think it's fun. It's way more than I would do, but that's why, you know, like, that's why we're a team. That's why you're out there doing it. That's great. I like it. I like to read it. Yeah, in the same way that I spend a lot of time doing cut-ups of, you know, Cal and things like that. I think that's what Mean Green. What does Mean Green Nation give you? It gives you that. Oh, speaking
of everything.
Yeah. Funny thing. Somebody fake emailed me. Fake Daryl Dickey emailed me. So that's how you know we're moving up the ladder a little bit when you get fake emails. You know, like if you want to read this post, I posted this thing. MGM Film Room SMU 2016. I didn't really want to do exactly what I did last year when I did, you know, like, let's look at Chad Morris's offense. I think you can kind of see it. You kind of get it. It's a little bit Baylor-like. It's a lot of dive, play action off of that, and then chuck it deep, which I think is a good offense to have. And, you know, they have a guy that's probably good enough for them. Matt Davis could probably be a little bit more accurate. They can maybe have one or two more playmakers. But I think the combination of Matt Davis's feet and his and Courtland Sutton, you know, taking the top off the defense is enough to make him dangerous. But I think, you know, on our side, we're going to have to out-execute this squad. Jeffrey Wilson aside, a couple of the other guys aside, none of these guys have proved that they can carry a team that way. I mean, and some of it is because, like, Jeffrey Wilson's not a quarterback, so, you know, he doesn't touch the ball every play like the quarterback would, like Matt Davis does. And so, yeah, you know, we're going to have to out-execute. And I think the nature of this post is to kind of some things to look for, in that everybody's going to, whether or not they respect our spreading of the field will determine a lot. And I think, just to keep it simple, I always try to write, like, for my wife. It's like, this is getting too football-y. So then I'm like, okay, well, let me kind of make it a little simple, a little less inside football here. So I'm like, okay, look at this. If we spread it out, what are we going to do? Are they going to respect our outside guys? Can we get the ball to them, those guys? I think we can with some consistency. Okay, so if they put guys out there to try to defend, you know, the field horizontally, how do we attack that? And I think the way we do it is either with some short passes, some catches and runs, and I think we have some guys that can catch the ball, make a move, and probably score. And we've always had guys like that. It's not like, you know, North Texas never had it. Breland Chancellor took a short pass against LSU and took it to the house. Do we have a Breland Chancellor? No, but we got a Nick Smith. We got Anthony Weish. Willie Ivory could probably do it, even though he's not in too deep. You know, Jeffrey Wilson can probably do that. T. Goree could probably do that. One of these other guys. I mean, Kelvin Smith did it in the spring spring game. So, I mean, it's possible. We could do that. And I think the offense makes it where it's possible there. Another thing to look out for is the run game. I mentioned this. I keep mentioning this. We're going to spread it out. And if they respect the horizontal attack, it's going to open things up the middle. And I posted a clip of Cal. They did it right away in that game against Hawaii. Although they kind of line up a little bit different with like a H-back, like a big, I think the dude is a lineman. He's basically being a lead blocker. We did some things like that last season against Marshall. And this is all without any threat of the deep ball, really, or the, you know, like the sideline passes. So imagine if we're able to do that. And I know Alec Morris maybe is, what did you rate him, like a 70 or 60 on deep passes? I think that's fair because there are some questions about that. In the spring game, that's where he started throwing interceptions. That's fine. Whatever. We don't need to chuck it deep the whole way as long as we make him defend sideline to sideline, and he can threaten them enough. Even Andy McNulty threw a couple of deep passes. That's how we score. I can totally see Jeff Wilson running up the middle against a defense that's concerned about bubble screens and getting lots of yardage. I mean, in the early days, that's how Lance Dunbar scored when he stepped in into Todd Dodge's offense. Everybody was concerned about the little short stuff. They handed off to Lance Dunbar, and he, you know, outran everybody up the middle. It was ridiculous. It was good times. Good.
And you mentioned Cal using the H-back there. For us, it's going to be Kelvin Smith. He's going to play that type of role where, you know, he's in the backfield, lined up as that H-back, you know, tight end type of in the backfield blocking, lead blocker, whenever they need him to. So, yes, he's an inside wide receiver, but he's kind of multidimensional. And it's really good for us to have a tight end that can play in the slot. You know, that's a weapon.
Yeah, that's what we hoped Marcus Smith was. Was it 2 years ago when we had, the freshman sensation? Dejon Williams.
Dejon.
Yeah. When he threw the pass, it was to Marcus Smith when he caught a short pass, took it through the defense against Nicholls State and scored a touchdown. And everybody was like, "Well, look, is this what we can expect going forward? This is going to be amazing. We expected a lot of things from Marcus Smith last season, and meh, it didn't really come to pass. Some of that was a quarterback. Some of that was the receivers, whatever. Again." I think we can. We've had talent like here at North Texas. We've had talent. We still have talent. I think we're good enough. There's like this whole thing. You've been reading all these previews where everybody's like, "Well, you know, North Texas sucks, bro. The worst team in the nation." Blah blah blah. And I think that doesn't take into account how you get to be the worst team. Like sometimes you lose because, you know, everything went against you because you lost terribly at picking the right positions. And it tells you how important a quarterback is and how important support from the other, you know, the other units are. If you have a terrible special teams, it's going to affect the offense and the defense. If you have a terrible defense, it's going to affect the offense because they feel like they need to score every possession. They're going to try harder to score. They're going to take chances when they shouldn't. And, you know, defensively, if you don't think that your offense can score, it's going to be really hard to, you know, get stops every time. You're like, you know, what is the point of me selling out and getting a stop when the offense is not going to support me? So all those things are interconnected. And I don't know, that's really my big theory here and why I'm convincing myself that we'll be a really good team this year. I think I've been too close to the Kool-Aid, man.
Well, you know, hope is a good thing.
It's a great thing. So where will you be watching the game, at home?
I will be at home. Other duties as assigned. Somebody's got to be on call.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just happens to be me this weekend. That's okay. I've upgraded. I got the DirecTV sports package. So I will be watching, you know, definitely North Texas and the plethora of other great games on TV because it's great that it's back, you know. Okay, the first game was Cal and Hawaii, and that...
I watched that whole game. It was a lot of fun.
I watched it till halftime. It was just a pretty shitty game. I mean, maybe not so the play on the field, but just the commentary, you know, just kind of just boring and dull. And then, okay, then Saturday, you know, comes along, and, okay, it's high school football. There's a lot of great games on. And then you get to the North Dakota State and Charleston Southern game, and that was just a great game. That was a great, you know, hit you in the mouth game. Two really good FCS schools going at it. You know, that to me, that was the first game of the year, because last year was North Dakota State, you know, and Bob Stitt and Montana. You know, Stitt happens, man. I want to get me one of those shirts, and you know, one of, you know, his air raid, you know, stuff and all the things that he did, and they upset North Dakota State. And just, you know, the atmosphere in the, you know, North Dakota State, the Fargo Dome, goes into overtime, all just the way the game played. It was just great. It was great to see that, you know, for college football, it's back. You know, you feel it, you know, now, you know, Thursday we get treated to some games.
So two things before you continue on with your enthusiasm. One, I was going to ask you, so, like, how are you watching the game? Maybe tell everybody so that way they can, you know, kind of get on your level there. Because I'm going to be at the game. So I'm not going to really do a whole lot of tweeting. And I'm not going to be able to help people out with how to find the game. So, you know, you want to, you know, follow Greg for that. He's going to tell you in a second. But then I also wanted to get your thoughts on the Thursday games. We're just going to go through Conference USA games. Because, I mean, everybody and their mom and even amateurs that have no business talking about this are talking about, you know, like the first week games, the top 25 teams, you know? So we're not. You can get that everywhere. Not a whole lot of Conference USA talk. So, FIU Indiana. You know, that's where Seth Atrell, you touched Indiana there for a while. They're always good against the non-conference folks, but then they sputter in the Big Ten. How do they do against FIU, you think? What is it? FIU is a 9-point dog?
Well, it was close. I thought I saw it lower than that.
It might be. I'm looking at the CBS.
I mean, you got Magoo playing quarterback for FIU. And, I mean, they do have some weapons, some good running backs. They got a chance to beat Indiana. And I'm not sure how good Indiana is. FIU, you know, the kind of middle of the road Conference USA game, but I was kind of surprised to see that line that low. So I'd still take Indiana maybe by a touchdown in that game.
Yeah, I think Indiana is gonna handle them a little easier than everybody thinks. I don't think FIU is that great. Louisville takes on Charlotte, and they're picked to win big by something like 40. I don't think there's much to say about that. I think Charlotte's gonna lose that one pretty easily.
Yeah.
Western Kentucky taking on Rice is the only conference game. Started off right away with a conference game. It's a big one. I think it's kind of unfair to both teams. Western Kentucky's favored by 16. Yeah, go ahead.
You know, the Rice, they lost a key defensive back today. The news came out for the season. He's a starter. That hurts their chances. You know, a lot of Conference USA, you know, bloggers, writers, some are high on Rice, some are low on Rice. I tend to fall on the lower end range. I'm not sure. The quarterback play, replacing Jackson, I'm not sold there. I think they'll be able to run the football. Not sure about their passing game. The defense, I think, is kind of suspect. Well, for Western Kentucky, boy, they have the running backs. They've got wide receivers. They may have surpassed Middle Tennessee as having the best wide receivers in Conference USA with the rash of injuries that the Blue Raiders has faced lately. But
yeah,
for Western Kentucky, it comes down to, you know, who's the quarterback. They probably named their starter today. I'm not sure who it was. I apologize for that. I should know those things. But anyways, Western Kentucky, if their quarterback play is up to par, they're going to be good again. They should be good regardless, but, I mean, play. I think they'll handle Rice by double digits for sure.
Yeah, you know, like kind of going off what you said about Louisiana Tech earlier, Western Kentucky's in that position where they have a good program in place, they have good players in place, they have a system that everybody knows and is training for. So whether or not, you know, like, even if they got not as good, I mean, nobody's going to be as good as Doughty was, right? Not first season. They don't really need that to be a good team, a team to reckon with, and they can win without them. They might not win as many or, you know, as easily, but, you know, that's fine. I think they can handle Rice pretty easily. All right, so our game, we already talked about that. UTSA takes on Alabama State. I think they don't even have a line for that. UTSA should, if they are everything that the fans say they are, handle that one pretty easily. It's a cupcake game. It's like a preseason game there. Do you think there's any chance
for Alabama State there? Yeah, I think Alabama State's going to hang with them for a while.
What is for a while?
For 3.5 quarters.
Mm.
I'm just not sold. Look, you know, UTSA fans, you know, we love to hate them. And we love to hate them because, you know, they think, you know, their crap don't stink, okay? You know, they think they're just God's gift of this earth and we should all, you know, bow to them.
Right? Well, Greg's hot sports take.
Yes. I'm sorry. Okay, you're telling me that your offense is supposed to be better this year, but you're going to a pro-style offense.
Yeah, I think that's a mistake over there, man. I think you had the comment of the week in Slack. You said they're like, was it LSU? They're going to have an LSU problem?
Yeah. I mean, they're going to – they've got, you know, good talent over there. They're getting good players to come in, but they're going to run a pro-style offense? I'm not sold on it. They haven't named their quarterback, their depth chart. I did look at their depth chart because I want to see if, you know, Jared Johnson, the transfer from Sam Houston State, was named the starting quarterback, and he was not. It's listed as an or, so Sturm or Johnson. For all the grief that they give us about our quarterbacks and, you know, have a Mason Fine walk-on, or, you know, Mason Fine, not a walk-on, but, you know, for giving him a scholarship and he's only 5'10", they may have a walk-on quarterback as their starter.
Yeah.
Okay? All right. Well, you know what? I'll take my transfer from Alabama and my 5'10" quarterback and my air raid offense, and you can live with your walk-on and your pro-style offense, and you know what? I'm going to be fine. I'm going to be fine over here.
Doesn't Sam Houston State run like an air raid type thing, and they got the quarterback from them, and then they're like,
no,
we're gonna run pro style.
No, Sam Houston State, Willie Fritz. So it's more like a spread option, is what he came from.
Well, either way, it's not pro style, which that's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, right. And that's what I thought. You know, initially when Wilson took the job, I thought they were going to be like a spread, you know, option run offense type of team, like an Oregon type of thing. I thought that, well, if they did that and the recruits that they're getting, like a Frank Harris at quarterback, is he really a pro style guy?
Yeah, I know that's everything there is very, very strange. Arkansas, Louisiana Tech, 26 point favorites, are the Hogs. I don't think there's much to say about that. I don't know if I'm rooting for Louisiana Tech to, you know, support the conference, or if I'm just like, eh, well, you know, whatever. Any thoughts there?
Oh, you got Higgins suspended for, was it first quarter, two quarters?
Yeah.
They're starting quarterback for Louisiana Tech there. Again, you know, Tech's got good talent. They have good wide receivers, running back. Not sure what they have there, offensive line, defensive line. They're good there, secondary, good. Arkansas's offensive line is going to be too much for them to handle. And then the quarterback play, definitely had 20 points for Arkansas there. So, yeah. But I think what's interesting to see is how good, you know, they look.
Yeah, I've been pessimistic on Louisiana Tech like every year of the Skip Holtz era. And I don't know. I think this is the year that, I mean, like everybody that Sonny Dykes had at Louisiana Tech is gone now. This is all Skip Holtz team. And I don't know that they're going to be very good anymore. I don't know. That might be just me. But yeah, let's move on. I agree mostly with what
you can't. But yeah. Lastly, there, can you really root for Brett Bielema? Can you really root for that guy? I mean, if you're an Arkansas fan, yeah, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
But anybody else, I mean, that guy just, I don't know. Just, it reminds me kind of like off, you know, the World of Warcraft, South Park show, the really fat guy, yeah, you know, taking everybody out. To me, that's Brett Bielema.
You know what I like about Brett is that he's committed to this run offense. I mean, it's fun seeing, you know, teams line up in a power eye and be successful. ODU versus Hampton, I don't think there's much to say about that. ODU's not very good. Old Dominion, I mean, in case you don't know what ODU means. This is not really interesting because they're not really challenging themselves. Same with Middle Tennessee taking on AAMU. Who is that?
I don't know. I thought they were playing somebody else, but...
And same thing with the FAU taking on SIU. Not really challenging themselves. It'll be interesting to see if they don't do as well as expected, basically. It's the same thing. All these teams taking on, like us in our second week, taking on Bethune-Cookman. If we blow them out, everybody will say, well, yeah, it's kind of expected. If we don't, then they're going to say, well, there's some questions to be answered. So I'm not really, it's not really much use in talking more about that. USM, Southern Miss, taking on Kentucky. Kentucky's only favored by 7. Thoughts?
It's a possible upset game there. Again, you wonder, can Hobson, can he recreate what, you know, I can't think of his name. The guy that Munkin, can he continue the success that Munkin had? Again, he's got talent there. He certainly has a quarterback, you know, to continue that success. Kentucky, they've kind of just been floating around there in the SEC East. Some people, you know, said, well, you know, this might be the year for this, but I'm not sure. I could see an upset there.
Yeah. Yeah, I see that, and I don't know if that's so much an upset if you beat Kentucky. You know what I mean? It is, but it isn't. Finally, UTEP and New Mexico State. This is a rivalry for them. They're like basically having an SMU game right now. It's a big rivalry for them. UTEP's at home. They're 9-point favorites. That'll be interesting to see how good UTEP is now. Last season, they had a lot of injuries. Like, everybody was injured. And they played a lot of freshmen. They struggled. They managed to beat us, which kind of really pisses me off. We should have got our second win there. And it'll be interesting to see what they're like this year, because was it 2 years ago? They were pretty good. They kind of showed what they were going to do, run the ball, be, you know, solid. They had question marks at quarterback, though. We'll find out what happens with UTEP, New Mexico State, you think?
I think UTEP will probably end up winning. You know, getting Aaron Jones back, that helps them out a lot. Their offensive line is good. You mentioned the physical play that they're trying to run. They'll have no problems really running the football this year. I think their biggest addition, adding the transfer quarterback from Fresno State, Greenlee, who ended up winning their quarterback battle, I think that's where you see the difference probably with UTEP. If they get better quarterback play, it'll take some pressure off for Aaron Jones, and having somebody that can throw the ball down the field, complete passes, that will really make that offense work.
Yeah, that was what was supposed to happen last season when they had the transfer from A&M. What was his name?
Jamel Showers was not there last year.
Well, was it? Yeah, 2 years ago. That's what I'm thinking of.
But then he got injured.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. It's like they were hit or miss. It was not a smooth transition. But anyway, you see what I'm saying. There you go. There's a little preview of all the Conference USA games this week. I think the Rice game on Thursday night is the most interesting. And then finally the UTEP one, because I'm just kind of interested to see what they do. Everybody else, I don't really expect much. If Southern Miss was to win against Kentucky, it will get a little headline thing, but I don't think it will raise my eyebrow. My eyebrow will be down. I think we're running up on time here. It's an hour-long podcast, ladies and gentlemen. If you have any other questions, if you want to give Greg grief for his posts, let him know. Tweet at him on the Twitters. Email the show, podcast@mangrynation.com. Comment on the show. I changed the comment list, so it's not the stupid WordPress comments, which are stupid and I hate them. So it's basically a forum behind it, but I just turned it so that way it's just a comment section. That one's really great because you can do all kinds of stuff with it. It's really useful. So I encourage you to use that. I finally got it working the way I wanted to, and it made it super official. So use that. I think the best conversations about Mean Green football happen in the Mean Green Nation Slack, I think. It's civilized. It's smart. It's funny. And there's also TV discussions in there. So do that. But yeah, if you don't want to get in Slack, you don't really know what that is, and you want to stick with message board stuff, you can find us on GoMeanGreen.com. We're there occasionally. Sometimes it can get kind of stupid, and that's why I have to retreat to Twitter or my own site. And that's what the internet's for. Stay in your bubble. Don't talk to anybody. A lot of inside jokes I'm making here. You have anything else you want to say, Greg? Besides Go Mean Green and beat the hell out of Methodist? We should just call them Methodist.
I think some final closing game comments here. Yeah. For the first time since 2013, I think we have a winnable home game, and our first game is a home game. Mm-hmm. It's a winnable home game, first game of the year. Another thought is the Dan McCartney, Todd Dodge errors, they started off like crap. Let's hope that the Latrell error starts off a little differently. You know, Todd Dodge got his ass whooped. Same thing with McCartney. We didn't even look like teams then. But let's hope that that's a little bit different this time around. Lastly, the breakdown should be coming to you guys Friday in a different format. A different way. It won't be a bunch of numbers and words.
It's gonna be a video.
The numbers, possibly a video here. I gave like so many numbers, so many stats, all that thing. Well, in an effort to reduce it down and to make it look a little bit cleaner, I've taken the stats, created one of those super duper awesome equations and rating scales, and basically compiled like rushing stats, percentages, whatnot into an equation, spit out a number, and that is your run offense rating. So then we'll compare that to the run defense rating. So it'll kind of give you a better idea. Well, instead of looking at, well, what do all these numbers mean, I'm going to tell you exactly kind of what it means then. You'll be able to say, okay, well, you know what? The run offense is probably a little bit better than our run defense. And you'll be able to see exactly, on a scale from 0 to 100. Like, for instance, North Texas' pass offense is a 79.
I think I like that. I can live with a 79. I like it. I like you changing it up. You're not sticking with the same thing every year. Not letting it get stale. Good job, Greg.
Well, you could try and grow, try and make things, different, We'll see how fans react to it. Whoever still looks at it.
Yeah, I mean, I think all your breakdowns are positively received. I think that's how I first learned about you. I was like, hey, this is pretty good. Somebody else nerding out over a mediocre football team. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening to the Mean Green Nation podcast. You can subscribe on iTunes, on whatever your favorite podcast feed is. Today's episode was brought to you by Deranged Penguin Podcast, my other podcast, which didn't record tonight because everybody was busy doing other things. So check that out. Listen to it. It is. I mean, I was like, you know what? Well, let's slip this one into here. It made my scheduling easier because I was like, how am I going to find a time to do a timely podcast? I don't think we're going to do, just like going forward, I don't think we're going to do the game day ones. Those are cool, but if you're not listening to them Saturday morning, then nobody was really listening to them after, as we previewed the game that you already watched. Probably a recap one. Sunday, look for it that day. That'll be a lot easier. Unless it conflicts with the Browns, I guess, because then Greg's like, no, can't miss my Browns.
I can't miss watching the worst team in the NFL. I can't. Yeah, I can't miss it.
He's got to watch RG3 do RG3 things.
Hey, man, he can throw the ball down the field. I'm a punt the Browns. Today, they traded a punter for a fourth-round pick. Boom. Money ball in all y'all faces.
You know, I can't really say. Here's the thing. I said this lots of places. I'm going to say it again right here. Everybody was giving Tony Romo shit for saying, you know, well, if that's the worst thing that ever happened to me, then, you know, I lived a good life. Everybody's like, well, you don't care about football. And then what was he doing going to vacation, you know, in the bye week? What's his problem? He needs to care about football. And now here he is caring too much about football, and his back's broken off. You know, he's going to be retired. He's not going to have a back, and it's all your fault. He's cementing his legacy as Danny White returned. Lots of stats, lots of numbers, but not a whole lot of big games to his resume. And, you know, that's sad. But I always have a soft spot for Tony Romo because I watched the Cowboys during the Anthony Wright years, Ryan Leaf. Was the other dude that we got that was a third baseman. We're like, has anybody ever thrown anything? I think they tried to sign the dude that threw the shoe at George Bush. Yeah, I mean, that was a good toss. He could probably play quarterback, huh? And, you know, so Tony Romo was the first competent quarterback that wasn't 30,000 years old, like Vinny Testaverde or what's-his-face, Bledsoe. And so it was a good run. I mean, he's not technically done, but he broke his back. He's out 10 weeks. Do we really think he's going to come back? I mean, best case scenario, I think he's going to Peyton Manning it, where he just takes the handoffs and, you know, and tries not to die. And that's sad. Let's jump on the Dak Prescott bandwagon, ladies and gentlemen. And that's been your Cowboys Minute.
Watch Dak struggle week one.
He's going to throw for 500 yards. Looking forward to it. He's going to throw for 500 yards every game. That's going to be his stat line. And Ezekiel Elliott is going to run for 250 yards every game.
You can't even get those stats in Madden, so sorry.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Go Mean Green. I can't wait till we drop 55 points on SMU. It's going to be great.